This Sunday is only the second week of the year. And I hope and pray that if you're still working on your resolution, you know, this is the second week, and a lot of times for people, it really is going to get hard to be able to accomplish whatever plans and goals they pledge themselves to achieve. My hope and prayer is that in addition to what you have already selected, in addition to what you have already chosen to work on for 2017, I pray that you don't neglect to work on your relationship with God. Don't get too busy in life that you end up neglecting the most important thing, Jesus. Last week we talked about how Joshua, one of the greatest leaders of the nation of Israel, he came and challenged the people right when they were going to go into the land of their inheritance. They were about to go enjoy that land, a land that they did not work for, and the Lord was just giving it to them. They were about to go, but he thought it was important for them to review their history, and so he gathered all the people, the elders, and then he challenged them to be faithful to God as they embarked on that journey of enjoying what the Lord already promised them. Remember, Joshua chapter 24, he said to them, commit yourself to be faithful to God. He said, serve God and throw away those other the gods of the other people and idols you have made. And at the end, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he told them to surrender, to yield their hearts to the Lord, to be faithful to God. Why did Joshua do that? Because he thought it was important for them to understand, as we go about and enjoy life and we get busy with our farm and whatever, usually when people get so busy, they tend to forget, really, the Lord. Joshua did not want the nation to forget. And that's why he renewed the covenant back then in chapter 24. But it's interesting, after Joshua, you go into the next book in the Bible called Judges. Two chapters into that book, it's a different story. Something drastic happened, and apparently people forget about the Lord. They forgot about Him. Judges, it's really a sad time in the history of the Jewish people, of the Israelites. Apparently there is a new generation that rises, and that new generation did not know Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah, as some translation would state. A new generation of Jewish people who did not know the Lord? How can that be? How is that possible? After Joshua already challenged the people, I mean, they went and enjoyed the inheritance, and now he says after Joshua's generation was gone, we have a new generation who did not know the Lord. Let's go to that book, Judges chapter 2. You can just take it on your devices right there. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through following. So I can give you a background what's going on there. Judges is the seventh book of the Bible. When you go from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Judges, and Judges. Joshua and Judges, excuse me, yes. Right after Joshua, we go into Judges. So chapter 2, verses 6 through following says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods and the gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he has sworn to them, they were in great distress. Now, it's interesting. What's going on? This is God's chosen people we're talking about here. Like I said, chapter 24 of Joshua, he challenged the people. By chapter 2 of the book of Judges, things began to change. It's interesting that the scripture teaches us and tells us right here that the Jewish people, the Israelites, served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived them. I mean, that's beautiful to end a book like that. Israel was faithful to the commitment, to the challenge that Joshua bestowed upon them, to that challenge that Joshua told them, hey, let's be faithful to God as we go. And they committed themselves and they did it. In scripture, both in the book of Joshua 24 and now in Judges, the writers are telling us that they did. It's almost like whatever resolution they had, that was Joshua's resolution for the Israelites. Let's be faithful to God. Let's serve him. Throw away the other gods that you made. They're not even gods at all. It was Yahweh who brought you from the land of slavery to where you are today. Beautiful. Israel, I love that, served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders. And then after Joshua's generation, of those elder generation was gone, now we have a new generation. And then they did not even know the Lord. To me, I cannot just wrap my mind around that. Now, verse 7, you see, Joshua's generation and of the elders, they experienced God in a different way than the new generation did. Joshua's generation, they were the ones who saw the miracles. They were there when God parted the Red Sea so that they can go through. They were there when God guided them by night with the pillar of fire and by day with the clouds. They saw that. They vividly experienced God's power, God's mighty hand at work on their behalf. But then they were gone, and now a new generation came, and for some reason, they did not even know who God was. Can you imagine that? It says right there, after this generation, verse 10, after that whole generation, meaning Joshua's and the elders, was gone, they all died. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done in Israel. And then, as a result of that, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I understand that the new generation did not get to see the acts of God. They did not get to see God working on behalf of Israel. But they still could have known God. What I'm saying to you, they did not have to experience what God did through their ancestors, what God did on behalf of their great fathers. But there's no excuse. They should have known who God was. And he says that they knew neither God nor what he had done. So to me, it's like, so nobody told you what happened in the past? Nobody told you why you're here today? And apparently that's what happened. Because how on earth we have a generation who doesn't even know the God of the Israelites, the God of the Jewish people? Like, it boggles my mind that we have like a third generation that they went to the land and they did not know God. But there are reasons why they didn't know it, and I'm going to share those reasons with you. I find it in the text right here. Why? The question is, why do we have a lost generation? Why do we have a generation that doesn't even worship God anymore? Why do we have a generation who doesn't know God? The text will give us some reason as to why. The first one that I find is right there, is that there was lack of leadership in the nation now. Do you catch that? He says, after Joshua and the elders were gone, a new generation come, and you don't hear about any other leader rising up to challenge the people and say, hey, we got to get back on track. We got to worship our God and not the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and Jebusites. We got to worship Yahweh. Nobody else stood up. So when there's lack of leadership, people just do whatever they want to do. Nobody to hold them accountable to that pledge. Remember, Joshua wrote down in tablets, and he even set a monument so that they remember. Remember when he did it in Joshua 24? He says, you know, You all are witnesses, and he wrote those things so that they will remember. So apparently, after they were all gone, nobody went back to review their history. You know what happens to a nation that doesn't go back and review how the nation was made? I mean, imagine we never pay attention to the Declaration of Independence. I mean, the principles, that's the foundation of our nation. If you just like do life and you never go back, like, hold on, but that's not what he says back there. I sense that, and I see that because they didn't have any other leaders like Joshua to step up, to say, hey, I don't know what you guys want to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Nobody else challenged the nation of Israel. Therefore, they just went and did whatever. Now, there are two phrases in the book of Judges that when you read it, he says, Israel had no king and everybody did whatever they wanted. Israel had no king. Everybody did as they saw fit. Or the other one is, and the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. All throughout the book of Judges, count many, how many times those two phrases appear. And it's almost like during this time in Israel, you can say that relativism was the predominant worldview. It was relative. Well, do whatever is right for you. If it makes you happy, do whatever's. But how about, what did the Lord say? I mean, it's not a matter of you being happy. It's a matter of obedience to him. But there was no leader, remember, to challenge the people to go back into the Lord, to get back to him. I've seen that pattern even in our society. When churches don't have strong leadership, usually churches sometimes tend to forget. I mean, we just go through the motions and we do things. We tend to forget to get back to the biblical pattern, to the foundation of God. Why do we have a lost generation? Lack of leadership. I mean, think about even as parents, if you don't have leadership in your house, eventually your kids might not even grow up knowing God. Lack of leadership is a factor that I see here. Twice the Bible said that after Joshua was gone, someone's like, oh, after those people are gone, I guess we just go and party. We don't go back to what they told us or they taught us. I mean, look at what he says. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done in Israel. It's almost nobody told you the stories. You know, usually you're telling the stories to the kids, but nobody told them. They didn't know the Lord, what he did in Israel, even though they did not know. They were not eyewitnesses. Even though they did not witness the miracles, they should have known who God was. Just as a way of reviewing history, just like Joshua did. But since they didn't have leaders, Israel abandoned their foundation. By the time you read the book of Judges, they don't have a foundation anymore. It's whatever everybody wants. In fact, later on they say, you know, we want to be like the other nations. Everybody has a king. We want a king too. And God did not like that at all. He gave him a king, but God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. I'm supposed to be their king, but they don't want it. They want to be like everybody else around. Sounds familiar? Just go with the flow. Conform to the pattern of our culture, our nation. Whatever is right for you, just go ahead and do it. Whatever makes you happy. That was the concept in Israel back in those days. They forsook the commandment and the laws of the Lord. They forsook the true foundation that God has given to them. Now, why do we have a lost generation right here in the Bible? Because the nation grew complacent. I see that. Go back with me. This nation that's here, they did not have to struggle. They didn't have to fight the battles. They didn't have to work for the land that now God's given them. Are you with me now? So, they're enjoying everything. So in other words, everything was given to them. They grew complacent. It's like, think about it. When you give everything to that particular individual, I mean, they don't lack anything, he says. Would they even think about God? I mean, I would paraphrase this. The nation of Israel right now, they're living large. I mean, this is the inheritance, those kids. Joshua in chapter 24, he says, go and enjoy, but remember the Lord. They go and, I mean, when you grow complacent like that, you are self-satisfied, self-centered. It's like, I mean, we have lands, we got vineyards, we got cattle, and we did not even have to pay for that. I mean, all this has been given to us, and they forsook the Lord. Now, God knew that was going to happen. Let me take you to Deuteronomy 8. Way before Joshua renewed the covenant, Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 14. The word of God reads, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. You will lack nothing in this land. And then he says, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Then he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Check this out, verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snake. So when you go and enjoy that land, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. And what happens after Joshua is gone? They didn't never review the history. Now we have this generation who grew up not knowing Yahweh. The Israelites grew complacent because everything was given to them. They didn't have to work for that. And he says right there in Deuteronomy, when you go, I mean, I'm giving you this land with everything that the land has. Remember how the land is described in the NIV? A land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a very fertile land, prosperous land for you. But when you enjoy it, please, God said, remember who brought you here. Remember, your ancestors traveled to that point, and now you're enjoying the Lord's promise to you. It's almost to me that they were so enjoying that they had no time for God. I mean, they were just busy with whatever life had and enjoying. And by the way, no wars to fight. Remember, there's peace right now. When your life's not threatened, you're enjoying life, and it's like, wow, things are going well. A lot of times people tend to forget God when things are going well. We tend to remember God when, there's a wake-up call somewhere. You get sick, or there's something happening. It's like, maybe God's trying to call my attention. Everything is they're living large, and, I mean, it says right there, it's like, you don't lack anything. So they became complacent, and that's why they didn't know the Lord. That's why they forgot about the Lord who brought them to where they were at. And as a result, the Israelites, the Bible says, and going back to our text, verse 11 through 15 of Judges, that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Check it out. It says, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served other gods, Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baals and the Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth is the female goddess of Baal. And Baal was a fertility god. So imagine these Israelites, that they're supposed to worship God. They're worshiping these fertility gods. And because that's what they did in the land. That's what everybody else did, so they're now enjoying it, and they're doing the same. And God, even though God had told them not to do it. I mean, just go back with me. What was the first commandment that God told them? Way before this. You shall have no other gods beside me or before me. He said, I am the Lord your God who's bringing you to this land. Don't make for yourself an image of anything in heaven or earth. Nothing. I am the Lord your God. They didn't care. They forgot about it, and they're worshiping all kinds of gods, he says right there. Now the Lord was provoked to anger. He got angry with Israel, his people. And you know what happens when you get God against you? It's not a pretty picture. That's why the book is entitled Judges, because God allows some people, enemies, to come and just plunder Israel, to rob Israel of the things. And occasionally God would just show mercy and bring up a deliverer, a judge. There are like 9 judges throughout the book of Judges. One of those is Samson. There was also a woman named Deborah that God will utilize to help the Israelites. Because remember, it says they had such great distress in verse 15. They were in great distress, in agony, because now some bad things are happening. And then the Lord, out of his love and mercy, he sent somebody to deliver them. Like Gideon, Samson, Samuel was a judge too. So I encourage you to read that book of Judges, because it's amazing. The story of like how unfaithful Israel was, but God still being faithful, even though they have forsaken him. So why do we have a lost generation? Lack of leadership, and also complacency in the nation of Israel. They were just doing their thing, and they forgot to honor God. But I think the lack of the reason that Israel was complacent also is due in part to their parents forgot, or their parents' negligence. Those ones that came to the land, they should have instructed their kids. And apparently they forgot about it. Why do we have a lost generation because of parents' negligence? We're talking about the Jewish people here. Let's go back to what God told them in Deuteronomy. He already had told them they needed to instruct that to the kids, and so that, because you know what, the knowledge of God was to be transmitted or passed on from one generation to another, so that you know the Lord, so that my next generation knows the Lord, so that they also will know the Lord. But somehow, somewhere, they stopped. They became negligent. I mean, go with me to Deuteronomy 6. Like I said, Israel's complacency is due in part to the lack of leadership during this time in their history, but also to the negligence of their parents that came to that land. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And again, this is way before Joshua renewed the covenant. God is talking to them, verse 6 through 5, 1 through 2, Deuteronomy 6. The Lord said, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me," Moses talking, "to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." So when you go in the land, these are what you're to teach the kids. This is what you're to teach and keep on doing as you cross the Jordan to possess the land. "So that your children and their children," that's the two generations right there, "after they may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." Now go with me, verse 6 through 12, Deuteronomy 6. Check out verse 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." This is to the parents. And then he says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." So that was the law. And apparently, after Joshua dying, all the elders of his generation, a new generation grew up who did not know the Lord, who did not know Yahweh. Why? Because somebody forgot to instruct their kids. Somebody forgot that God said, "Teach it, impress them to your children." I mean, did you get overwhelming to hear like, tie him up? God saying, do whatever is necessary so that you always remember God. Put him over there. Like when you walk in the room, there's a sign right there. It's like, oops, remember the Lord. Tie it up in your forehead. Put him somewhere so that when you go somewhere tomorrow, you always remember who brought you there. So almost do, I mean, time. Talk when you get up, when you lay down. Talk with your kids about that. I mean, gang, church, I mean, in our society, think about that. Like when people say it takes a village to raise a child, I don't want the village that I'm living in to raise my kids. I want to raise him. That's my responsibility. I had to instruct them. I'm not going to rely on teachers and coaches and preachers to train my kids. It's my job. God bring him to me, so I got to instruct him. Because if I don't want to lose him tomorrow, I have to build that foundation, the same foundation. See, my dad's dad was a drunkard. And, you know, it's like my dad even told him, don't come to the wedding, you're going to show up like that. He was the only Christian, and then he built that foundation. Yes, as a kid, I did not want to go to church all the time. You know, it's almost like, why do we have to pray? Why do we have to go to church? I did not even want to be a preacher in the first place. But then, I thank God that he built that foundation for me, that I can be a Christian today. And now I'm going to do that for the two kids that the Lord gave me, so that tomorrow when I'm old and gone, that Jaden and Josiah can train their kids to serve the Lord. Not because my daddy was a preacher, but because their faith is authentic. You know, sometimes kids develop the faith of their parents, but eventually that faith has to become yours. You have to become, but then our job is to build that foundation. You see, we have a lost generation in the Israelites because apparently they've neglected to impress it upon your children. Talk about him when you lie down. We don't do much of that today, I mean, in our society. I mean, I'm not saying that you, based on research, research will tell you, you know. So that's why we have a lost generation. They neglected the same foundation for the next generation. See, when parents don't take it upon themselves to educate their kids in the ways of the Lord, when we neglect that foundation, guess what? Our kids are going to find somebody else is going to introduce them to a different foundation tomorrow. You see, that we lay that foundation for them, or the system is going to, because somebody's going to give you, everybody has a foundation, in case you didn't know. That's called a worldview. And hopefully the worldview will be Christ-centered. And if you don't give your worldview to your kids, somebody else will. I mean, that's the reality where we live today. That's what God realized. They go into the Hittites and Jebusites. Those people, they kill their kids on the fire to their gods. I don't want my Israelites to do it. So it says, impress these commandments upon the children so that they don't be like the other nations around them. And you see, by the time Joshua and the leaders are gone, the Israelites are doing exactly that. Sad story for the people. I read an article one time, a parent was concerned why in our society, he said, why is it that kids, once they get to they're out of high school and they go to college, they leave God and they forget about church. Now, this man was talking about from his experience. You know what he said? He said, see, all my life, I was concerned. I was thinking about why is it that most kids, when they grow older, they tend to leave the church. And I found out, you know, I did it to my own kids. He says, the reason is because we introduce our kids to church and fail to introduce them to Jesus. We introduce them to church. In other words, we introduce them to a lot of church activities. And activities, don't get me wrong, they're not bad. But when the activities are not promoting your knowledge of Christ, just become an activity. And what happens when the activities is gone? Because you're going to, the kids also is like, what? Yeah. So you introduce them to other things rather than the foundation. Church is not going to give you a foundation. Church can tell you about it, but the foundation is found in Christ. It's Jesus. He's my firm foundation. So this father said, you know, that's what happened to me. Like, I couldn't understand why my daughter, later on, she didn't want to even, I introduced him just to the church activity. She was going, I mean, she was having fun, going to the youth group, doing all, those are great things. But apparently those activities were not promoting the true foundation, Jesus. You can introduce somebody to church and still not know Jesus. Do you know that? You can still be in church and still not know Jesus. And then later on when Jesus said, well, like, I don't even know who you are. He said, Lord, but I've been serving you. I've been doing all these things. And Jesus said, but who are you? I don't even know. We don't have a relationship. And so that father was concerned about that because he said, you know, we have to do whatever is necessary to introduce him to Jesus. I mean, but again, there's a question for me even. If my faith is not authentic, why do I think my kids' faith is going to be authentic? If God doesn't mean anything to me, why do I think it's going to mean anything to my kids? I mean, have you ever thought about that for a moment? Like I said, this is the trend in our nation based on the research Barna. I mean, they would tell you, and you talk about the millennials and things, generation. I mean, it's like they're not lost. There's always hope to reach him, but we have to go back to the basic. We have to go back to the foundation because then they're going to find a foundation that And later on, it's like, people will tell you, people are committing more suicide now than ever. Because they don't know how to resolve their problems. And they just think that killing themselves, that's the way. And you know, like the guy that went and did the shooting. And like my wife and I were talking about, like, why is it that our government doesn't provide help to people that have mental things? Why would you give somebody like that a gun? You know, and I said, so many things out there. But the generation, there's always hope. Because we had to introduce them. We had to still tell people, we had to go back to the basic. We had to do anything necessary to tell them, this is the foundation that you need that will get you through the trials and tribulation in this life. So you see, the Israelites' parents neglected to impress that upon their kids so that their children and after them will know the Lord. We had to introduce, like I was talking about, not just church things or activities, but that the activities somehow, somewhere, they talk about the foundation. Because, you know, if you just introduce them to activities and the activities don't have anything about Jesus and the true foundation, when those activities are gone, they also be gone. You see, right now, my wife and I, we read the Bible. We're going through the gospel. We already read Matthew with our kids. And I love when Josiah would say, hold on a moment, I have a question. I said, what is it? Like, he reading something, and we read out loud, all of us, we take turns. 30 verses, then Jaden would take 13, Josiah 13, I would take 13, and just reading some of the things about the case for Christ. But we're reading the Bible through them. We start in the gospel because in the Old Testament, it can be R-rated, and we're not there yet. So we eventually get him there when they say, like, well, why do... And then we explain. But they're asking questions, and you know, why... You know, my parents did that with me. I didn't like it. I was just like, here we go again, reading again. You know, I just wanted to watch TV and do other things. But we decided the best time for us is after dinner. I'm not saying you have to do it like we do it. This is what we want to do. Because for my wife and I, we realized she was raised in the church. I was raised in the church. I want my kids to be there too. So that tomorrow they can say, like I can say about my dad, thank dad and my mom, that even though you treated me the way you did and, you know, one time as a kid, I wish I would have been born to a different set of parents. It's like, I cannot understand. I mean, those kids are having more fun than I am. That was my thing. And thank God that they did it the way they did it because I'm a Christian today. And they're like so glad that, I mean, my dad would say, all the kids that I have, even though they're in different states and country, they're serving the Lord. Even though he wasn't raised like that, but he used to say, I'm not going to raise my kids the way I was raised. And, you know, he laid the foundation and thank you. I love him to death because of that. And now we're doing the same with my kids. Now, check this out. When they're older and they want to do their own thing, you build a foundation. And some of you have already. Later on, they just want to do their own choices because the influence of society. Don't feel guilty when that happens to you. I mean, they're adults already. You see that even through the Bible. Later on, you go over there, but guess what? They might not have a relationship with the Lord, but they know who the Lord is. And they know that they're walking the wrong path. This generation we're talking about did not even know what God did for them. But I guarantee you, your kids, whether they're in the church or not, they know that God is important to you. They know what the Lord has done. And it's going to take something drastic to happen in their lives for them to realize, my mom and dad used to tell me about that. And look where, and then they will come back. So don't view this that I'm just pounding you because your kid. You already showed them the foundation. And no, that's what I'm praying to, that my kids later on, they're just like, not because I'm a preacher, but it's like, they told me about that, but it was that I was too stubborn and I never listened to my mom and dad. And now it's happening. Now I'm ready to listen. But you see, we have a job to do for the next generation. And like Solomon was asking, I was on the school today, and it is to continue to introduce people to Jesus Christ, the ultimate foundation, the only one that you're going to need to build your life upon, because all the other foundations that you might want, they're going to crack and you're going to fall. That's why we're saying, Jesus, you are my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. See, the nation of Israel failed to introduce their kids to the Lord. And as a result, they did evil. But even there, when they were just going their way, God utilized something and they finally, some of them got to know. Like people like Gideon, he was part of that generation. And then God talked to them. It's like, that's what we're doing wrong. And they came back. So that's what I'm saying. There's never a lost generation. There's always time. As long as the Bible is around and we talk about Jesus, there's hope to bring it back. For parents to continue modeling, like, you know, like, well, If you want your kids to go to church, but maybe you should be in church too. I had to tell a lady that. I was like, I want my kids. But you don't even bother to go to church or be anything. So then you want your kids to do it. Usually they look at mom and dad and you're not there. Why should they? I mean, think about that. And it's like, she was concerned. She felt and said to me, if I go, I don't know anybody. Like, if I go, like, I feel like a stranger. If I go to church, like, and my kids, like, I don't even know what they believe anymore. And I said, well, I know what they don't know because I don't even know what you believe either. And he said, why should they go to church when they don't see mommy even trying to get him up and go? I mean, that's... If we don't want to lose this generation and the next, we must commit ourselves as leaders, as parents, to do our best to introduce them to Jesus. We must not neglect the greatest foundation that was given to us. If we truly believe that He's our foundation, let's not neglect that and bring it. Because you see, like I was telling in the media, I don't know if you read, so many celebrities are turning to the Lord now. The guy who did the Transformers, Shia, he became a Christian because apparently Brad Pitt told them, and I mean, they already say they're identifying with Christianity. And it's almost like, praise God. So, I mean, and you see, because some people view those people as celebrity and they can have a powerful influence to tell people, you see, my faith is important to me. This guy, Chris Brad, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, he says that, you know what happened to him that turned him to the Lord? They got a premature baby. And his wife, you know, like this, like, you know, when that happens, faith becomes real. And they were praying and then God gave him the baby and it's like, he's a Christian now. We knew about Chris Tucker. So many, you see, the generation is now lost. So now think about it. Those people have money, power, but there was something that still they were lacking. You see, that's something that only God can fill, that gap. And now it's like, you know, now they're better because they found Jesus through the struggles. There was a woman, I don't remember her name, but there was like 9 celebrities that found God, he says. She said, like, was that the baby? He used to say, like, Mom, God, please give my mommy another baby. God, and the mother was like, why is she even praying that? God, please give my mommy another baby. And then soon after that, the mother was pregnant. And she was like, wow, like, my daughter's been praying that for a long time. And it's like, to the child, she now got to know Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Even though it might be hard work, the generation that's coming, it's not going to be lost. Even though people say, oh, millennials, they're just so focused on the internet. It's not lost. Even through the internet, you can find Jesus too. Introduce people to the foundation so that we don't have the same outcome as the Israelites. So like I say, we don't want to lose them. We had to commit ourselves to introduce them, to do our best, to impress that upon our children, that they see that this is important to us. Leo and Jessica had a lot of work to do with Hunter, to introduce them. They're in church so that, you know, that Hunter grows up to realize, and we're going to help him to realize, hey, we're here. That was important to my mom and dad. Like I was saying, my dad was a preacher, but I didn't want to be a preacher. But I knew his faith. I knew it's like they believe in God, and I seen God at work in my family. So it's like that I got the foundation, but I want my kids now to have it. Because tomorrow, even if they decide not to do it, they can come back and say, it wasn't because of my mom and dad. It was because I was stupid and did whatever. But my mom and dad always showed me the way. I just didn't listen to them. Because, you know, there's a stage in the kid's life that mom and dad don't know anything. It was until they're 20 that they realized, wow, my mom and dad are smart. But when they're teenagers, they think that we don't know anything. So we as parents have to continue to know God personally. We have to know God now. Because if we don't know Him, how do you think our kids are going to know Him? God has to be personal for us in order for God to be personal for our kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Gatorade. If it is not in us, why do you think it's going to be in them? He has to be, I mean, they have to see that we about this, you know, it's like, oh, you're always into the God thing. You know, like, you're really personal with God. Like, that's real for you, man. So we have to strive to continue to know God in a deeper level so that our kids might grow up with that. That's how we're building that foundation. Now, Jesus Christ is called the firm foundation. He is the greatest inheritance that you and I can give our kids. He is the greatest inheritance that you can leave for your kids, that they get to know Jesus. The same foundation for the new generation.